Well, we're back on the topic of ghosts this week, and I have to thank Jennifer Couples again. I'm going to have to start sending her some royalty checks. Except I'm not making any money doing this. But Jim Cooling is my guest this week, thanks to Jennifer, an email from her. Now, initially, I looked at his website, and I thought, this is kind of interesting. They do these walking tours in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. And he really does this on the side. He's a corrections officer, has been one for over 20 years. He also has been a police officer. He has a family, and they seem involved in this paranormal stuff as well. It's a lantern light ghost walk that they do. And I guess he started doing this just to tell stories. There's a lot of ghost activity in Sault Ste. Marie, and he likes to, you know, pass those stories on over the years. You hear them like I have. Well, then something unique happened, and I had no idea that this was going to turn out like this, but this is really cool. Have you ever had the desire to have something, you know, I used to feel this way, and I still do from time to time, have something happen. You know, those of you that are really want to believe in this or want to experience it, here's maybe an opportunity. And you know what? It doesn't cost anything other than the price of gas, maybe an overnight stay in Sault Ste. Marie. Because for a small donation, you go on these tours, whatever you want to donate, they call them the Lantern Light Ghost Walk. And they go to different sections of the town. And because it's located in an area where there seems to be a lot of history, a lot of things have gone on. So Jim's going to, it's kind of a cool tour, you know, and I don't know if things happen every time, but Jim Cooling is my guest this week on Out There.
Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Welcome to another edition of Out There. My name is TJ, and I have a guest from, I guess, Sault Ste. Marie. Is that correct, Jim? Jim
yes.
Cooley?
Yes.
He has something called Twilight Walking Tours. A friend of mine made me aware of this. And they do different things. One of them is called a Lantern Light Ghost Walk. So I wanted to find about that. And plus, there's, I looked on the site you have. You have stories about pirates of the Great Lakes. A lot of stuff that I enjoy. So thanks for joining me this morning.
Oh, I'm glad we could talk.
Now, I'm catching Jim at his other job, so we're going to hopefully be able to finish this interview. But how long have you had Twilight Walking Tours?
This is the start of our fourth year. And we were inspired by... We were inspired by some ghost walks we'd gone on in Edinburgh and then Glasgow, Scotland.
And then
we were actually at a ghost walk in Canada, and my daughter, Emily, who's a drama student and director, was with us. And this guy did such a terrible job that my daughter said, "Dad, if this guy can have a walk, why can't we?"
Right.
And so the challenge went out, and I was inspired by that. And I said, "Well, we can do this. Will you help me?" And so she's been a great help, and she's my artistic director, and my wife now does vocals for us, and my son Orion has a Pirates of the Great Lakes tour in Chicago. He's doing it off of the tall ship Windy off Navy Pier this summer.
So there were
a little bit of family venture,
and it's something the ghost walk. I'm guessing that you go to places where ghosts have been spotted. Is that kind of the legend? Or?
Well, you know, all of us we all love the question of what's there, what's not to be explained, and as we started with the Twilight Tour, which is a mix of history and mystery. And then as I started collecting the stories and talking to people, I thought, you know, there's so much going on here in Sault Ste. Marie and in the Great Lakes. Maybe we could do a tour just on that. And it took off. It's actually our most popular tour. And now people are coming up to me and saying, "Listen, you know, you've got to go see this house. I want you to go talk to my uncle. Did you know about this happening in this building?"
Wow.
And so you know, we're getting some great, great information. And the tour is a walk around Sault Ste. Marie, and we're actually standing and talking about the buildings and about the events and fascinating things that have happened there. Because it is the third oldest city. I think that's actually one of the oldest cities west of the Appalachians. And if you consider when the Ojibwe Anishinaabe people got here, it's maybe the oldest, one of the oldest cities in America.
Isn't that something? And do you think, is there a reason why maybe, is there hauntings everywhere, or are some places just more haunted than others?
I think some more than others, but I think what you're finding is people are not willing to talk about it until they feel it's safe. So they may be more widespread than you and I ever imagined. It's just that it's not a topic that people sometimes feel comfortable with disclosing.
Do you find that more and more people are coming out about this?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Now that I've started this, people walk up and tell me fascinating things because it's now safe to do so.
Mm-hmm.
No one thinks that they need a rubber room because there are unexplained things happening.
Well, I'm guessing you got some ghost stories you should be able to share with us on this conversation. Do you have any personal experiences that you would like to share?
Well, we've had a fascinating one that just astounded us. One of our buildings along our walk, I go in and collect these stories. It's kind of like going on a treasure hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And I go in and I'll say to the owner of the building, "Hey, I'm Jim from the walking tour. Is there anything interesting going on in this building?" And one of the owners of the building, she said, "Are you kidding me? This place is crawling. You better sit down." And so she told me about being in the bottom of the building when she could hear furniture crashing upstairs, and she went running upstairs thinking someone was in the building and no one was there. And then she called her brother-in-law, and they came over and stood on the outside of the building and heard it again. Furniture smashing and glass breaking, but nothing is breaking.
Now, how do they not just go screaming and running out of there? Because that's what I'd be doing, I think.
I don't know. There's just no, you know, there's no explanation for it. And then what was happening was she also, for a long time, she could hear a little girl calling for mama.
Wow.
And it took her some time before she could talk to other employees and say, "Listen, you know, would you think I was strange if I told you I could hear a little girl calling for mama?" And they said, "No, in fact, we've heard it clearly." So I took that idea, and last October, which I was doing a walking tour, and as a Celtic person, we have a season called Samhain, which has got turned into Halloween, and it is the point which the veils are the thinnest between the world. And so I'm standing out there with about 10 or 15 people, including my wife, who's a skeptic of all these things, and I'm hollering out into the Samhain wind. I'm hollering, "Mama, Mama," and look behind me, and there's a little girl standing there in a long white dress.
Wow.
And I saw her, but I didn't really look at her carefully. I was working with my guests, and after the tour was over, my wife came up to me, and she said, "So whose little girl was that?" And I said, "What?" She said, "Whose little girl was that? She didn't come out until you called for mama. She didn't come out of that building. Where did she go? And what's a 4-year-old, 5-year-old girl doing out in the Samhain wind in a long white dress?" And I thought, maybe I called her. And since then, we've had so many things happen on the tour.
So things actually happen.
Happen on the tour.
That's really cool.
That I now have to kind of do a disclaimer and say, "Listen, if you're really, really uncomfortable with the idea that something could happen tonight, go across the street. They have wonderful ice cream. We'll be back in an hour." Because I think perhaps because in telling the stories, we've kind of encouraged some kind of activity because we have people getting yelled at, breathed on,
really?
Pushed.
Wow.
It's happening almost nightly.
No kidding. This is a tour to sign up for. If you really want to get maybe a firsthand experience, those of you that, you know, some people will tell me, they listen to my show, and I'd like to see a ghost. Well, here's your chance right there, right, Jim? Yeah. All you got to do is, if we go to your website, I guess that's probably the easiest thing, right?
Right.
TwilightWalkingTours.com.
Right.
TwilightWalkingTours.com. And there's information on there that will tell people, I mean, what does it cost to go on one of these walking tours?
Our tours are tips only.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And normally done at night?
Yeah. There's a schedule on there. If you have a group of people and you wanted to do a special, you could call. We could arrange that.
No kidding. Well, that sounds like we're going to take a break. Jim Cooling, he's with Twilight Walking Tours. And apparently you got a fascination with ghosts, I'm guessing, too, right?
Yeah. And I think a fascination with all kinds of things that go bump in the night.
Awesome. We'll continue talking in just a moment to Jim Cooling. He's out of Sioux, St. Marie, Michigan. This message is for the undead and the dead. Why not? If you wonder how you found this site, or if somebody gave you this, a copy of this program, we're at outthere.podbean.com. Do not type in the www. Otherwise, you can find us through a link at the Braver Institute, and that's www.braverinstitute.com. And, of course, you can check out Way Braver's blog. You can also check out Huntcast, if you like. And, again, you go to outthere.podbean.com, and if you have a comment or an idea or an interview, whatever it might be, I'd like to hear from you. You can send me an email, tj2@up.net, or you can just drop a little message on the shout box. Thanks for listening.
It's out there, out there, out there, out there.
His name is Jim Cooling. He has a website called Twilight Walking Tours. They do a thing called the Lantern Light Ghost Walk. Now, a lot of times, you know, I've seen these different things on the Travel Channel and stuff like that, where these people take these tours, and generally it's a bus, and they'll explain all these strange things, and, you know, that's fine. It's kind of neat to go on those. This is kind of a tour, no guarantees, but you may actually get a spirit that might say something or do something. That's what Jim's telling me. That's pretty amazing. Now, why do you think this happens? Sioux St. Marie, you know, I've heard this before. Maybe you've heard this before too, Jim, where you have a lot of water. And Sioux St. Marie, you got those lakes pouring right in there, right?
Right. Right.
And where you have a lot of iron ore, spirit activity tends to increase. Have you heard stuff like that, or do you think, is that part of the reason?
I think it is. I think it is. The history of Sioux St. Marie is one of deep involvement with people and the land, and our native people who have invested in, and their spirit, soul is here. And they are still here, and a very vital, wonderful part of our community. Mm. And then the building of the locks is a story which most people don't know, that there's great tragedy, because in the building of the locks, several thousand people were killed building these locks, dying from cholera, overwork, and exposure. And the company that was building these locks had a timeline to finish it, or they wouldn't get paid.
Mm.
So whatever it took to get these things built, that's what they did. And so what happened was, you had all these, particularly the Irish, which we are Irish, and Scott, coming here and with a dream, and finding that that they were worked and dying by the thousand in pursuit of a dream they couldn't find.
You know, that's something I don't ever recall in history. Maybe I was taught that and I missed that in class, but I don't ever recall hearing about that. Was that something that's kind of glossed over?
Well, it is, because when they went to build these locks, they were built with private money from a company called the Sioux Locks Falls Company. And the state and federal government didn't have the money, so they've hired this company to build it, and it had a 2-year deadline to finish it. So whatever it took to finish it, that's what they did. And so there's they said it's a great investment and people coming here with great dreams. And many of those dreams, you know, the people found 6 foot of sand instead of the dream they were looking for.
So you think that there's a lot of souls that are at unrest that are still hanging around.
Yes.
Now, why do you think spirits hang around? Is that due to unrest? I mean, is there a number of reasons?
I think for some reason it is unrest. I think there's a momentum about a life that gets stopped, and that's one of the thoughts I have. Now, the other thing I will tell you is that of the ghosts that we are seeing here and that are appearing to us, almost all of them are from, strangely enough, from the 20s and 30s Prohibition era.
Hmm.
And the Sioux had a huge history of Prohibition because we're right across the river from Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is a story that most people don't know about.
So you had a lot of mobsters running through there, I'm guessing.
Well, we had a tremendous interest in Prohibition, in illegal liquor coming over from Canada and being shipped out of here. All the gangsters were here, John Dillinger and all the gangsters
Al Capone,
were here.
Probably, right?
Because they could get the booze across the river pretty easily.
Mm.
And so some people have suggested that some of those Prohibition ghosts are here because Sault Ste. Marie was a great place to have a great time.
Ah.
This town was wide open during Prohibition.
And so there's a lot of those types of individuals still around, and they haven't moved on. Now, so what do you think happens? I mean, most of us move on at some point, right?
Yeah.
And then there are those. Now, you said you have kind of like a Celtic belief. Could you explain that a little bit, if you don't mind?
Well, as a Celtic person, I think that there are many different dimensions of life, and that life is a great deal deeper than other people might consider. And for us as Celtic people, we've always looked at the legends and there could be fairies, there could be dwarves, there could be elves, and those are part and parcel of our great long history. And always acceptance, perhaps, that there is more to life than might appear. And a comfortableness with it. There's some sort of that's okay.
Now, does this Celtic belief come from your Scottish background, your background as far as your history, or is it something just you've adopted in your life?
Well, it is both those things. My family are Scots-Irish, and so it goes all the way back in our family. In fact, my grandmother, my dear grandmother, the first thing she ever taught me as a little boy, I was sitting on her lap, and the first thing she ever taught me was that if you hear the banshee wail, you're going to die.
No kidding.
And which is a heavy ride for a little boy.
Yeah, it sure is.
Every time you hear a siren, you know, you think, that is that it? Is that the banshees? And so it is a comfort with our own culture.
Have you and your family had like experiences personally that you've seen things?
Yes. In fact, one of the strange things is my mother, who was a wonderful Irish, black Irish woman, died of a brain tumor. And after she died, she was standing in my living room, and she had her arms. I had my arms around her, and she was laughing and beautiful and happy.
Mm.
And I was saying to her, "So tell me another funny." She was saying, "Tell me another funny story."
Mm.
And I said, "Well, I'll tell you another funny story, but you have to stay." And she disappeared, and I was so stunned by it for several days. I couldn't figure whether I dreamt it or how. What context do you put this in?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I finally told my wife. I said, "Mary, Mama was here, and she was laughing and beautiful and happy, and she could sing again." And Mary said, "When was that?" And I said, "It was Tuesday." And she said, "Of course she was here. That was her birthday."
Hmm.
And her birthday is October 29th, right in the middle of Samhain.
Hmm.
And so I called my son Michael, who was our oldest, and who would be the only child who could remember her, and I said, "Michael, Mama was here." And Michael said to me, of course she was here, Daddy. Her birthday is on October 29th. That is Halloween. Of course she was there.
Wow.
And so it was a gift, a blessing to say, look, there is something beyond this world. And look, I'm happy. I'm laughing. I'm singing. I'll see you again.
Yeah. Isn't that a nice thought?
Yeah.
You know, so many people have so many different beliefs, and everybody, you know, a lot of people say, well, this is the right truth, and this is the truth. And we don't know. None of us 100% really know. So it's kind of nice to have a belief, I think, that allows you the thought of it goes on regardless. I like that idea.
Yeah. And you know, isn't death actually the ultimate mystery?
Yeah.
No one knows. No one knows.
And maybe it's just a big illusion.
Well, you know, for us, there's something beyond.
You know, and on that note, we'll take another break. Jim Cooling from Sault Ste. Marie. It's Twilight Walking Tours. They do a lantern light ghost walk. And actually, it's just for donations. And I'll tell you what, we got off it a little bit, the subject, but you will experience some things. There's a good chance. I'm not going to guarantee it, but there's a good chance you may experience some things if you take this tour. You can go to his website. It's twilightwalkingtours.com.
Out there.
You know, I hear sometimes just when you talk about ghosts, you kind of bring them up.
Is it safe yet? Is he gone?
Not that I'm a big chicken. But if you'd like to check out, and this to me is really interesting, and maybe something fun to do, twilightwalkingtours.com. Jim Cooling's website, twilightwalkingtours.com. And again, you get out there in Sault Ste. Marie, and you get to take this lovely tour, and really, not going to cost you a whole lot. You get to check out a beautiful area. If you've never been to the Sioux Locks or Sault Ste. Marie, it truly is a picturesque area.
It's out there.
My guest is Jim Cooling. My name is TJ. You're listening to Out There. We are talking about ghosts, twilight walking tours, and the lantern light ghost walk. Now, Jim, you've had people come up to you, and now all of a sudden you went from being a guy that just wanted to be a storyteller. Now people are confiding in you, aren't they?
Yeah, that, you know, particularly when we've talked about the incident with my mother. One of the fascinating things was a young man came on the tour last summer. They came on Friday night, and they showed up again on Saturday night. And sometimes when people do that, I think, well, perhaps I should change the stories. And I can move them around because there's so many stories. But I did repeat the story about my mother both on Friday night and Saturday night. And I noticed that when I was talking about my mother, I noticed this young lady leaning, actually being held up by this young man. And clearly they loved each other tremendously. Mm. And at the end of the tour, she came up to me and she said, with tears in her eyes, she said, are you just telling stories or do you believe this? And I said, what happened happened. And she burst into tears. Mm. And this young man was holding her up. She said, I've been tremendously worried because, you see, we've been married 2 or 3 months, and I think my father is trying to comfort me. Mm. And I didn't want to tell my husband. I didn't want him to think that I was strange or weird.
Mm.
And I said, so your father has died? And she said, yes, I think he's trying to smile. I think he's trying to comfort me. What do you think? I said, take the blessing. Mm. Take the blessing. If he's trying to comfort you, he's trying to love you, just you're okay, and accept the blessing just as it is. And the young man was holding her up with tears in her eyes.
Mm.
And as I drove away, I thought, wow, we're not just storytellers, but a place where people can come and perhaps feel confident enough to say, listen, the unexplained has happened, and I don't know how I'm going to deal with it. So it was an awesome responsibility, not one that we set out to do.
No, but, you know, I'm guessing you're feeling that the more we explore the unexplained, the unknown, maybe the more peace we're going to find in all of it.
That's really what we're seeing, you know. And I'm not uncomfortable with the unknown.
Hmm.
I certainly don't have all the answers, but there's a comfort here in knowing that, that there isn't. There's limits to our knowledge.
Right.
And can we explore beyond the conventional comfortably? Can we? Do we have the courage to look beyond what has always been taught to us?
You know? And you have no problem doing that, right?
No. You know, one of the things that Louis L'Amour, the author and writer, he said, you know what? Legends are not truth, but there's truth in legends.
Sounds like you got a spirit in the background, yeah. Jim. There's a ghost calling out for you right now.
So underneath those, legends are human experience.
I believe so. You know, I think, you know, on my show we've talked about some of the things you mentioned, fairies and what they are and all these different things that people, these giant orbs that people see in the woods. And, you know, there's got to be a truth. And I don't think that truth, my own personal belief, is meant to be kept from us. I think we just, maybe we lost the knowledge somewhere along the way.
Perhaps what we lost was not the knowledge, but perhaps the willingness to say, it's there, and I want to look at it.
Mm.
You know, the idea that we can't hear it because we don't look for it, because we don't listen, because we think it's not there.
Do you feel at all, Jim, because you've had some experiences, do you feel the experiences get better or become more... do they happen more often when you start to open yourself and accept these things and want them to happen?
I think that you know, when we go into the woods, you go for a walk in the woods. If you say, oh, I'm going to listen for a blue jay, and that's the sound you're looking for, you will hear it because that's what you're listening for. Otherwise, you could walk through the woods, and there might be blue jays everywhere. You wouldn't know it
mm-hmm.
because you're not listening for it. And myself, I'm just saying, if you open yourself up to a greater experience, your chances of finding it are much better.
Okay. And that's kind of what I'm asking is it seems like when you open it up, my own experience tells me that, because I've had several things happen. But the thing is that's really cool, it's like you go through, once you open up that doorway, it seems like just more and more and more seems to come your way.
Which is what's happened on the Lantern Tour, you know.
So these spirits aren't angry at you. They're not. Are they happy to? Are they? How do you sense that these spirits are?
I don't sense any malice about it. I think I sense a willingness and an eagerness to perhaps communicate in ways which we may not be comfortable with. I mean, one of the fascinating things was we had a young lady on our tour who actually felt. Okay. Who actually felt someone stroking her chin.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, during one of the talks. And we have a couple of places which are really powerful places.
Wow.
And her sister was watching her, and her hand was kind of like batting it away. And her sister said, what were you doing? And when I, at the end of the tour, explained to him that there's some particular spots these things happen in, her eyes got huge, and she realized what had happened.
Well, this is really a fascinating thing, because how many places can you go? I think a lot of it's hype, you know. Oh, come on our tour, come do this, come to this museum. And here you actually have something that you didn't intend it to be this way, and now you have all these types of things going on. People,
yeah.
Not always maybe, but they're going to experience many things going on.
Yeah.
How did this woman react to all that?
When I explained, her eyes got huge, and I said, I recognized it, and I said, you know what? I got to talk with her after the tour was over. And I said, so what happened back there? And once I said, well, that happens a lot in that area, in that spot. Are you okay? She said, yeah, I'm all right now. But she said, at first she didn't realize what was happening. Then when it dawned on her, it startled her a great deal. But I said, you know, there's no malice there. It's just they're trying to communicate, and she was okay with it. Some people do get rattled. Some people.
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
Some people walk away and say, "Well, I can't tell you what happened." That's why at the beginning of the tour, I kind of do a disclaimer and say, "Listen, if you, as I said, if you can't deal with it, then you know, they have nice ice cream across the street.
Good idea. You do the disclaimer.
Yeah.
Now, you know, so you, since you said you had a little bit of a Celtic belief, that's kind of your belief system. I just want to throw this out there as a question. What is your, how do you feel about Stonehenge and places like that? What is that all about? What is your understanding of that?
I think that there existed a tremendous sophisticated culture at some point in time in history that we have not come to embrace, and that Stonehenge was part of a vast culture here on Earth, and I think we've been very comfortable in downplaying what sophistication existed in the past.
Absolutely.
Perhaps bolstering our own ego, thinking that somehow the 20th century man is so much smarter than perhaps his ancestors. And so I think there existed a vast culture of highly sophisticated people at some point in time who had the ability to do things that we are not willing to give them credit for.
Now, why did they make that circular with all the rocks like that?
Well, my guess is that it has something to do with the solunar tables and the changing of the seasons. There's a site in Ireland called Newgrange, and which is the keeping of the seasons. There's a site in the Bighorn Mountains called the Medicine Wheel.
Mm-hmm.
I think those were very, very important sites. And I think those were some sort of a connection with the stars and with the changing of the seasons. And I think we have underestimated how intelligent our ancestors were.
Let me ask you this, is kind of left field. Do you think that they got any assistance from outside, from someone else?
Well, you know, the presence of UFOs seems to me that there is so much going on that it's not reasonable that we could dismiss it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I did read, strangely enough, I did read some legends of some Native people who have claimed to have arrived on a flaming star.
Mm.
And I think that is a possibility.
Well, it's really been a pleasure talking to you, Jim. And perhaps down the road we can have another conversation. Certainly if you have some really bizarre things happen, I'd love to hear about them. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Good.
We're just about out of time. His name is Jim Cooling. He does a thing called Twilight Walking Tours where they do it's got to be a little scary, even if something doesn't happen, because they're doing a lantern light ghost walk, and you're telling some stories, and just the setting alone sounds a little bit creepy, right? And so if you want to find out more, go to the website. And Jim, all they do is they accept donations. So they're trying to make it something that everybody can afford and enjoy, as long as you don't get creeped out, right, Jim?
Well, if you do, please come and talk with me about it after the tour. And we'll try and arrive at some peace of mind.
And in many ways, maybe you're doing this not just as it started out to be storytelling, but also the greater service to maybe help some others, too.
That's the way it's turned out to be.
Well, that's awesome. And I wish you the best.
Well, thank you so much. I enjoyed talking with you.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.
I'm coming for you.